ಓಂ ಶಾಂತಿ. When Baba tells us, Rama will test us with suddenly, we understand the words, but I don't think we actually understand the significance that each one of us is going to be tested in a way that we weren't expecting. And so suddenly is not just a subject of timing, but suddenly is also when things are totally unexpected and they happen. And I'm thinking about how when we heard about Dr. Nirmala being unwell, then we've seen her go through many phases in and out. One moment she's unwell, the next moment she's fine. And so I was expecting that this was another one of those phases, that she's unwell today, but she'll be well tomorrow. And then suddenly the soul flies off. And so on one level, there's always been an appreciation of the role that she has played in the yajna, of being the one who's never afraid to speak the truth, always fearless in that, absolutely able to share whatever is right and honest. I think it's because internally she was totally content. She didn't need anything from anyone. She didn't want anything else. She had everything. And so I think that made her absolutely bold and fearless. And of course, when somebody leaves, then you appreciate even more how they played multiple roles. It wasn't just one role that she played. But over the last 10 days, I've been getting several emails about, what about this? What about this? What about this? What about this? And some of it is from foreign lands, but some of it is from Bharat. And the multiple roles that she had taken up here, not only in Gyansrover as the head of Gyansrover, but also other roles that she was playing in different teams and departments. And so truly, a very deep appreciation of that soul. But of course then, you also understand that Baba's populating the advance party very quickly. When Didi left, we knew that there would be a number of souls following her. Because in India they say when a powerful soul goes, the soul takes many others with itself. Sometimes three, sometimes five, sometimes more. And this time, I keep getting news of souls who have flown away, and I think it's definitely gone beyond five. So, really, a very special soul. And today's Bhog message was recognizing all those qualities. But again, there'll be a Bhog offering here tomorrow. So, the subject that you see here, limitless love. On one level, it's only God who truly has limitless love for all of us. But then Baba wants us to be Bap Saman, and Baba wants us to follow in His footsteps. And so God incorporeal, the whole world, are the children of God. And so yes, God's heart is so big that there's space for absolutely everyone. Theists, atheists, whoever they may be. Saints, sinners, God's heart is open for all. But then we also saw Brahma Baba, and in Brahma Baba, they also saw a love that was able to encompass everyone, a love that was able to take in little ones, big ones, souls that were close, souls that were a little bit distant, and Baba brought them closer. So my memories as a child, and I won't repeat the mango story, I've shared it several times, but now 10 years old, and what is it that I was missing from India? I probably wouldn't have said mangoes if I'd been asked the question. So when the mangoes arrived, it literally was only Baba knew how to touch the hearts of little children. We had many relatives, but they didn't think about sending a parcel by airmail of mangoes. And here was Baba sending mangoes. So how do you win the hearts of little children? And that's just one personal story. But another person was saying how when he was 6 years old, came to Baba just as a child accompanying the mother. And as soon as he met Baba, Baba just gave him a big smile and said, Baba had already had it prepared. Lachu Daddy had brought many toys, not just one toy, but several toys. And so Baba said to the child, take what you'd like. And the child looked at the mother, and the mother said, okay. And so the child picked up one toy and came and sat down. And Baba said, what about this one? Lachu, bring that one. And so Lachu brought that one. What about that one? Bring that one. And by the end, there were 6 toys that this little child had. And so you never forget that in the whole of your life. This person is now nearly 60, or maybe is 60. But sharing this story, it came back so vividly in his mind that he was painting that picture for the little group he was sharing this with. And he used one little expression. So, he didn't speak Hindi at all. And so he was just sitting by his mother's side during the Murli. And so when Baba was speaking, then he'd tug his mother's sari and ask, what's he saying? What's he saying? And the mother would translate a little bit, but of course she was there for herself, not for translation. And I don't even know that she could have translated it. But anyway, so at one point he heard this word chichi. Do you know what chichi means? Those who don't speak Hindi, can you pick it up from just that expression, chichi? It means something that's dirty. And so afterwards he asked his mother, what was Baba talking about when he said chichi? And she said about eating meat. And so from that moment on, that's it. He didn't eat meat after that ever. Now, no gyan, but just Baba's charisma, Baba's limitless love, Baba reaching out to a little child. And of course, with adults, again, my father wasn't in gyan, and Brahma Baba knew that he would respond on a different level to just a spiritual level. And it was a big family, extended family connection. And so when we went to Delhi to meet Baba, and just imagine, here's this person who's 32, I think, at that time, and 30, 32, and he's come home after being in Africa for about a year or so, and his wife wants to be celibate, and she's young and pretty, and she's become vegetarian, and he's really concerned what's going to happen to his family. And he's made a decision that he has an offer to start business in London. So he's definitely going to go back to, not to Africa, but he's going to go to London. So that, again, he can take the whole family there. And maybe this influence of the Brahma Kumaris can be washed away. And Baba put Daddy Nirmashanta as the first person to meet him because he knew Daddy Nirmashanta from a Laukik level. In those days, cousins were sisters. You didn't call a cousin a cousin. You called him my sister. Even today, some people still do that. And she melted his heart just with her love and her demeanor and her charm. And then he met Mama. And again, Mama's love was very gentle and powerful. And then he met Baba. And so Baba's love expressed in different ways. Not a whole blast of love from Baba directly, but Baba preparing the soul, softening the soul. And so whether it's a young person, whether it's an adult, whether it's an old person, Baba would say, "You're my equal. If I get up for Amrit Vela and come for Murali, you can do that also." And so different ways to touch hearts, to be able to bring them closer to God. So limitless love on one level is really to be able to reach out to souls, whoever they may be, whatever their background is, but to have such a clear awareness of connected with Baba, then you have a very clear awareness of what the soul needs and you're able to reach out to them. And the purpose of reaching out to them is simply to bring them closer to God. So do I do that in the way in which I interact with individuals? And if I don't, let me have more yoga with Baba and understand more deeply what Baba's love is so that I can be an instrument to bring others closer to Baba also. So it's not classes, it's not lectures, it's not repeating a Murali point, but it's really genuinely seeing how to bring a soul closer to God. And I think that when we've experienced Baba's love, then the one thing that we all want to do is to give others that same experience in one form or another. And so love might be just understanding their need and fulfilling their need. Love might be being able to forgive, because sometimes, very often, different people have different habits, and some habits are things that cause you a bit of irritation. And maybe sometimes it's not just a little bit of irritation, it's maybe more than that, it's a lot of irritation. But to be able to let go of that, forgiveness means letting go. And so can I let go of my focus on their weaknesses or irritating habits and just simply see the soul and the beauty of the soul? And through seeing the beauty of the soul, then maybe, yes, I can love them genuinely as God's child. And I think if I have the vision that this one is God's child and this one is God's child and that one is God's child, especially when it's within the Brahmin family, I think we're more forgiving with Laukiks than we are with the Brahmin family. Because with its Laukik family, we know that there's a certain level of courtesy we have to maintain and keep the connections warm and friendly. And the same thing at work. At work also, there's a code of conduct that's expected. And so we're willing to follow that code because we know that we won't survive otherwise. We'll be out of a job. But with Brahmin family, we become a little bit too familiar. And so sometimes we allow our negative emotions and feelings to come out very quickly, reacting to them. But if I can take God's love and learn not to react, big subject, because reactions cause further comeback, karma, and I react and quite possibly they'll react also. And so the action reaction that set up, and at the end of all of that, I'm left with even more karma to settle than before. And so what I want to do is to be able to settle my karma from the past, not to increase my karma. And so non-reaction, no reactivity, is definitely a very, very powerful way to move in that direction of settling karma rather than creating karma. And so love, in that I'm able to let go of that, forgive them, whatever are their habits, little or big, and the irritation that I feel when I see it happen yet again, yet again, yet again. So I can't change them, that's for sure. But what I can do is change myself. And so maybe I need to take more love from Baba so that I don't react. I'm not reactive. And I'm able just to stay calm and peaceful. So another facet of love. Another aspect of love. And that is to be able to give them respect, even though I don't always see why I should respect them. But before I can give love, I actually need to be able to give respect. And a very interesting question that somebody asked Daddy many years ago, and Daddy had noticed that somebody didn't give another one respect. And so later on, she told this individual, but you know, you have to learn to give respect. And the person replied, well, I don't see anything in them that I should respect. And Daddy's response was, what you have to do is see what are the sanskars you need to develop within the self. And one of the foremost qualities of deities is that of being able to respect everyone. So if you want to be a deity, it's not a question of seeing what they have or they don't have. It's a question of seeing what are the sanskars you're developing. And if you want to become a deity, you develop that respect for each and everyone. And if you can do that, then yes, you're on the way to becoming a deity. And of course, Baba's limitless love for us, experiencing that means that I learn to respect myself. When Baba gives me love, the first question when you come into Jnana is, why do I deserve this? I'm sure many of you must have had that question. You're getting special love from Baba, you're feeling that, you're walking on air, and you have a question, you know, why is Baba giving me so much love? Anyone had that experience when they first came to Baba? Only one? I don't believe it. Right. Wow, everyone here. Vietnam has special love from Baba because it's not so easy to take Jnana in the culture that you've been born into. But amazing to see so many of you here. Beautiful. So yes, and in case you didn't see it, most of them raised their hands. So that situation, and it's not because Baba wants something from me. Baba wants something for me. Baba's giving me limitless love right at the very start of the journey so that I can learn to have respect and love for myself. Because when we come to Baba, it's the end of the cycle and it's the end of our battery. It's nearly run dry. Very little power left in the soul. And yet Baba's giving so much love so that I can learn to see the goodness that lies within the soul. And there is goodness still, even at the end of the kalpa, in every Brahman soul. And so we look at ourselves and we say, okay, well, if Baba loves me, there must be something that Baba is seeing of value in me. And then I begin to discover my own original qualities and express them and emerge them. So I need God's limitless love to be able to see myself first with that respect, and then to love myself also. It's a journey, but it happens. And to that extent, then I'm able to give respect to others also, without looking for what is there that's worthy of respect. But no, learning to respect myself, and in learning to develop that sanskar of giving respect to each and every single one. When you think about Satyug, I'm sure there's different things that come to mind, but the one thing that always comes to our attention, if not sooner than later, the qualities of the deities in which they see each other with a lot of love and respect each other. I know that some of you didn't see who came to Baba after 2020. Anyone here? A few? No. Who came to Baba after 2020? That means they were not in Raj Yoga before 2020. Okay. A good few here. Well, my hope is that you will see the love that the Dadis had for each one, and especially between themselves, through the love that everybody shares here in the gathering. But why I'm mentioning this is because when we would see the Dadis meet each other, it was a magical experience just observing that. Think about the times that most of you saw Dadi Prakash Muni meet any one of the Dadis, or Dadi Janki meet anyone, or Dadi Gulzar meet anyone. And especially when the Dadis would meet each other, it was like, you know, their childhood memories, the memories of Karachi, and were so deeply instilled in them, and the sustenance that they had from Sakar Baba and Mama, that it would be just magical observing them. Who felt that and saw that? Yes, definitely. Those of us who were here at that time. That gives you an idea of how the deities meet each other. Just love and respect. And so if these are the sanskars that I'm developing myself, then I need to be able to express them here and now, see everyone with that vision of love and respect, absolutely. And so the demonstration of limitless love from God, and then through God's instruments, is beautiful. Another thing, Baba would know the weakness of an individual, but Baba would not talk about that weakness. Baba would highlight their positive attributes. Share another story. One particular individual, and they hadn't been coming to class, but they were moving forward in their career, and it wasn't that they didn't want to, but circumstances hadn't allowed them. And if you just see the rule of law, then nobody should have given them permission to come to Madhuban. But we had Daddy in London, and so Daddy had the privilege, the authority, the spiritual authority to adjust things. And so she wrote to Madhuban and said, this person is coming and has a lot of love for Baba and really hasn't been coming to class, but I'm giving her special permission to come. time. This person had been in Gyan for some years already before she started on her career development thing. And when she met with Baba, this was in the days of personal meetings with Baba. And it wasn't such a rush that night. Sometimes there would be a rush, and Baba wouldn't be rushed. But there would be sometimes a lot of people to meet. And so Baba would pace it accordingly. Baba was very aware of what the chariot could do and could not do. That was a factor too. And Baba gave this person very long drishti. And I was very curious what Baba was going to say to her. Is Baba going to say to her, well, you should really go to class every day? Do you think Baba said that? Baba didn't say that. Baba said to her, your faith is unshakable. Your love for Baba has been absolutely unbroken. And you saw her break into this beautiful, gorgeous smile. Because I think she was also a little bit scared. What is Baba going to say to me? And everybody sitting, listening, watching. And Baba just took up those two qualities of her faith and her love, which are absolutely a reality, which is what Daddy also had seen in giving her that permission. But that really won her heart in such a powerful way that she carried on. And sometimes it would be class, sometimes no. But she continued also to use her career for service. And it came to the point where she was doing a huge amount of service just through her qualifications and her work. And that soul still continues to do a lot for Baba. And so that was such a clear lesson for me. That, you know, when you think about Christ and the thing about Christ and where there was the letter of the law that was being followed within the people who were there already, and Christ saying that, well, it's not the letter of the law that's important, it's God's love that's important. And so here I was seeing a demonstration of that. And so what do I learn from that? Well, I might not be able to have a special privilege of giving special permission in the same way, but what I can certainly do is, instead of highlighting anybody's weaknesses and saying, this is not what you should be doing, maybe I can approach it from a different direction. Maybe I can talk to them about their goodness and their special qualities, which no doubt they have. That's why they're Baba's child. Baba said that the other day. Each one of Baba's children has some special attribute that they can offer. And so let me focus on that. And let me have a relationship with them on the basis of that, rather than using the critical eye that we've developed in Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, two things come very strongly. One is competition, and the other is criticism. And, you know, there's 10 things that somebody has made, but one thing is slightly not right. Now, what are people going to talk about? The 9 things that were very good, or the one thing that wasn't quite right? At the end of Kali Yuga, that's the habit, negativity. And so criticism comes out more quickly than appreciation and praise. And so can I change that habit of mine and instead of being critical, see the goodness? And of course, competition is another factor in which certainly there's no feeling of love at all. But when there's competition, I was asked that question just recently by somebody. Do you think competition fits in within spirituality? because maybe if you compete, then you're able to move ahead and move faster. And I said, no way. In spirituality, you don't compete. Each one has their own specialities, and you move ahead on the basis of those specialities, and there's nobody else who's going to copy you, nobody else who's going to compete with you. Just simply use the gifts that God has given you, and you definitely don't compete with anyone else at all. Can you imagine when I'm comparing myself with another? And in competition, definitely there's comparison also that comes in. Well, they're doing this, now can I do this better? So competition and comparison definitely are akin. And so when Baba's telling me, you are unique, there isn't another one like you in the world. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Yes? Who believes it? Good. But it means that really there's no competition. There isn't anybody else like me in the world. And that's not ego. That's just simply appreciating the gyan that Baba has given me. And that is that there are no two souls who are identical. When you look at the tree, can you see two leaves that are absolutely, absolutely identical? I challenge you. You won't. Nature doesn't have a copy. It really doesn't. Each one very, very individual and different. So Baba's children, definitely very, very different. So God's limitless love can teach me how to go beyond comparison and competition. It's never a question of one person passing and another one failing, one winning and another one losing. Each one on their own level, in their own merit, comes to whatever it is they're able to do. As long as they're focusing inside, if my attention goes outside and that's what I'm doing, then I fall down. But in reality, everyone unique, and so absolutely no one able to take the place of another. Two stories about that. I'm focusing on stories this evening rather than the theory. The amazing fortune when I was just 17, coming to Madhuban, and Baba pulled me into a meeting that Baba was going to have with the seniors at that time, the dadis and the dadas. And in a way, I had no reason to be there, but I'd just been sitting there on the wall in Pandav Bhavan. Some of you haven't seen Pandav Bhavan yet, maybe, but most of you have. So that little wall where people still sit in front of that little garden by the history hall. And Lachu Daddy had given me things to do, which meant cutting pistachio nuts and almonds. It was a sort of standard when there were idle hands around and you wanted to give them some work. This is what you got. So I was sitting there quietly doing this. And Baba came out from his room. And I knew that Baba was headed to what he called a seminar. Baba meant Brahmins, senior Brahmins coming together, and seniors from across Bharat had been invited. And so the senior Brahmins, Baba had said to them during the course of the Murali, you begin your meeting and Baba will join you later. So I could see Baba headed towards the stairs, those stairs that took you above Nirvay Bhai's office, and there were some new rooms that had been constructed. And Baba came out and was headed there and then beckoned me across, and I left the thali with the nuts and the knife and everything and came across. I thought Baba wanted to say something. Baba didn't say anything, but Baba just took my hand and moved along to the stairs. And at the bottom of the stairs, I stopped thinking, Baba's now going to go to the meeting. Baba pulled me. And so I went up the stairs also. And then I was going to turn around and go. Instead, Baba yanked me again. And as I stepped into the room, all the dadis, all the dadas, and so I then just sat on the threshold. And Baba went and sat in the middle, in the front. And no chairs. Madhuban didn't have any chairs or sofas. Everybody was on the floor. And so the dadis on one side and the brothers on the other side. And Baba gave drishti. And then Baba asked them, what have all you been talking about? And Didi Manmohini was the first one to speak and said, Baba, we've been talking about how when Mama was around, so this was 1966, because Mama had left in 65. So when Mama was around, Mama would go on tour and all the centers would be able to take so much benefit, and we'd be able to organize programs and bring VIPs, and Mama would meet them. And so it was a great opportunity for service. So can Baba appoint someone to take Mama's place? And everybody became silent, waiting. And Baba then said, no one can take Mama's place. For what each one of you can do is invite each other to your centers, and you can do the same service that you used to ask Mama to do. And that started the system of the dadis visiting each other's centers. Generally before then it was that the dadis would be moved around. How often did daddy move from Delhi to Bombay to Amritsar and then again to Pune? Baba would send a letter, child, I want you to go here. And they just had a little suitcase and no other possessions, so off they'd go. And no hesitation, no waiting. Baba's letter came and pack up and go. And Baba would then do whatever he needed in terms of sending another replacement. So that was happening, but not that they were at a center, so they'd go visit this center or that center. So the Baba's comment that no one can take Mama's place. But that's not just for Mama, it's for everyone. When Baba left, no one took Baba's place. When Didi Manmohini left, nobody took her place. So each one with their own special role, and they played their role so beautifully, but also the same thing applies for all. So the more I feel God's love, the more I can understand what role it is Baba wants me to play. And role isn't a title. Role isn't a position. Role is just simply being a Brahmin and doing the service that Baba wants me to do. The door opens and I walk through. And then that same visit, this was a time when Baba was saying in the Muralis, you can ask me what your future status is going to be. And it takes courage to do that, especially if you're in a gathering. But at that point, one person asked, and Baba's in the gathering, and Baba said, yes, you'll be part of the Rosary of Victory, but you can move ahead even further. And then another person asked, and it was a very small group at that time, and Baba gave that same answer to that person. That was a brother, this was a sister. And then at night, after Murali, we hear this little voice ask, Baba, what's my status going to be? And Baba couldn't see who it was, so Baba said, can you stand up? And this old lady stands up, and she's frail, and I hadn't noticed her. I don't know what she was doing, but she was obviously a Madhuban resident, very old. And Baba looked at her and said, "You'll come in Satyug." Now, Baba didn't offer anything else more than that. But just simply knowing that she was going to come to heaven, she was happy, really, really happy. That was it. She didn't want anything more than that. So that scene reminds me, every soul, when the soul understands what its role is, that soul is content. And so certainly no comparison or anything with another. Whatever I have done and whatever stage I have reached, that's it. Baba's going to give me everything in return for that. And I'll be very content with what Baba has given. So drama has a key filled within it that every soul is content with its role once it comes to understand what its role is. And so God's limitless love brings us to the point where the soul can be totally satisfied, totally content. And so if today I'm feeling a little bit of discontent, it's not because of the place, it's not because of other people, it's simply because I haven't taken God's love. So can I make sure that I open myself up to God's love and fill myself with that love so that I can experience that contentment now in Sangam Yug? And then I don't have to worry about what others are doing or even what they're saying, but definitely I have to focus on what I need to do to be able to fulfill my role in a way that Baba wants me to do. So, Limitless Love, it's a beautiful title, and many, many things come within that. But one other thing, once you've experienced God's love, and there's that state of contentment, then there's also a huge amount of gratitude. When I walked in and there was the meditation song when we started, and it was gratitude beside me, gratitude behind me, gratitude in front of me. It was really lovely. But as I experience God's love, the heart really is filled with gratitude, a huge amount of gratitude, in which, what more is there that I want? There's nothing else. And really, truly, this is what the soul has been searching for. The happiness, the purity, the joy, all of these come. But I think the love is the first step. But the love also comes when I understand Gyan. So maybe even before Limitless Love, it's the understanding of Gyan. And again, I say that from experience, in the sense that as a child, I'd met Sakar Baba and Mama and felt a huge amount of love. But it was only when I understood Gyan in a very conscious way that I said, now this is what I need to do. And the time of understanding Gyan was also then the time of experiencing God's love. So if I'm feeling that I don't have that experience of God's love, I think maybe it's because I haven't yet fully appreciated who Baba is. And so practice of soul consciousness, practice of just keeping pure, elevated thoughts in my mind based on Gyan. And I'm sure Baba's going to give you the experience of His limitless love. And as you fill yourself with the love that Baba's sharing, it's there, it's available. So Baba doesn't keep anything secret, no hidden secrets at all. in every Murali, Avyakt Muralis especially, Baba has often reminded us of how everything is available for all, and it just depends on each one to what extent we are ready to take what God is offering. And so just stay in that experience of soul consciousness and pure thoughts, elevated thoughts, and through that experience definitely you'll be able to feel God's limitless love, I'm sure. And that brings total contentment and fulfillment. And that's it. And with that, you become a deity. God's love makes us deities, nothing else. You can have all the gyan in the world, but until you have that experience of God's limitless love, there will always be attachments here that will pull you down. And that's really the last thing I want to emphasize. I remember someone early days in Gyan telling me that they were one of the early Western students of Krishnamurti. Have you heard of Krishnamurti? One of the very famous gurus of India who came abroad early days. So this woman was a disciple, a very, like one of the first Westerners to recognize Krishnamurti as an elevated being. So they would have personal conversations, and she used to say to him that, how do I get rid of my attachment to my husband, my children? And because he talked a lot about detachment, and he'd say to her, detach, detach, detach. But he would never be able to give her an answer how to be able to do this. And when she came to Gyan, very quickly, that experience of God's love, because she had been a real seeker since age 11, and now she was about 40. And she said, I just experienced God's love. And then, yes, I know this is my connection, this is my relationship, but the attachments just fell away. And so she said, she asked me, shall I go and tell him that I found this? I said, yes, go. So she did, because he was still alive in those days. So she did go to him, and she did tell him that, and he was sort of dismissive. At that moment, I don't even know whether he'd heard of the Brahma Kumaris. This is like 1975. So he may not even have heard of the Brahma Kumaris. Now, go to any of the gurus in Bharat, and definitely they've heard of the Brahma Kumaris, and they know the work we do. But at that time, I'm sure he didn't know. But he was quite dismissive at that point. She didn't go back to see him again. But definitely this was a comment that came. So the reality of our experience, just feel God's limitless love, and the bondages of attachments will fall away. You won't have to break them or fight them or cut them. They'll just drop away. Enjoy your time in Madhuban, and enjoy God's limitless love, especially while you're here. Om Shanti.